Good morning, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time this Sunday morning to come to this open house. And I'd like to take the opportunity to express my gratitude to all the volunteers who were always here way before I arrived to prepare this place, and of course, over the years, their effort and offering, selfless offering, to make it possible for us to have this place to engage in the practice together, and of course with the guidance and teaching of the venerables here. So today's topic is cultivating generosity as a Chan practitioner. And so generosity is a topic that probably many of you have heard many times. And so there's a reason for it, because it's a very useful practice. And also Master Shen Yan mentioned that it's a practice that if we just start with it a little bit, we can feel the benefit right away. And so it's like a very probably one of the easiest entry into the practice. That's why it gets talked about so often. Generosity is often listed, and this is the reason why generosity in the teaching of the six paramitas for accomplishing the Buddha path, generosity is often listed as the first one. So to get our attention, that's something we can do, get on doing right away. It is also one of the four skillful means to benefit sentient beings in our cultivation of compassion. So this is why generosity is an important part of our practice on the Bodhisattva path. That means if we're not cultivating generosity, we're not really on the Bodhisattva path. Very often, we get confused about like what is the cultivation of generosity with the action of giving. Actually, very often in English, this paramita might be referred to or translated as giving. And it is important to have this clear in our mind that when we talk about the cultivation of generosity as a paramita, we are talking about the practice of giving in accordance with compassion and wisdom. So just giving something is not automatically a cultivation of the paramita of generosity. That's why in Nagarjuna's Mahaprajna Paramita Sastra, and also Asanga's Bodhisattva Bhumi Sutra, they had extensive detailed discussion of what is inappropriate to give. Because if we get so easily confused thinking that, oh, just giving, that I'm practicing generosity. So for example, just a couple simple examples, that we don't give something to someone who will use it to cause harm to someone else or to society, to the community. So for example, someone come and ask you, oh, could you give me some money to buy material to make a bomb so that I can go and carry out an attack, because I really hate those people. Do you say, oh, okay, I want to help you, I'll give you money. Because that would not be in accordance with wisdom and compassion, right? So just the act of giving is not automatically the cultivation of generosity. The parameter of generosity. Or another example that was cited in these sastras is that we don't give food to someone who already is very full. They already have way too much to eat. They're actually hurting from being full. Do we still just keep giving them food, like just because we want to be generous? That would not be in accordance with wisdom and compassion, right? These seems kind of funny examples, but we might not we might not be able to see that clearly without this, without understanding the principle of the parameter of generosity that we are cultivating. And in the cultivation of the parameter of generosity, we will often hear there are different things that we can give in this practice. The most common category is the category of giving wealth. And Master Yingxun talked about that it can be wealth, money, or material wealth, or things that we possess. But also it includes other things that we possess, such as our body, our time. So this is helpful for us to understand what it is that we can give and share as part of our practice of generosity. And besides wealth, it can be the giving of Dharma. And this often actually gets misunderstood. We may think that, oh, Dharma means Buddha Dharma only. It is part of this kind of giving, meaning sharing the Buddha Dharma or the practice that you understand you share with others so that others can also benefit from it. But that is only part of this kind of giving. It can also refer to knowledge that we have developed from our study, from our work experience, from experience in life, skills that we have accumulated, and so that we can share with others, not necessarily in terms of Buddha Dharma itself. This is quite important to clarify, because when we see this often get translated as giving of Dharma, and may give one incorrect impression that, oh, in order to give, to cultivate generosity in giving this way, the only thing I can do is to share Dharma. Of course, that's not the case. Many of you have engaged in all kinds of sharing in this way, like teaching, sharing with others your experience as a volunteer, or maybe how to do certain work that you find very useful. You probably might notice YouTube is filled with those very generous sharing of people figuring out how to do something that used to be quite difficult, and then they figure out how to do it in a way that is quite a lot easier, and other people can benefit from it, and you improve their life. That is also a form of generosity. The reason why I want to talk a little bit about these categories of things that we can give in the practice of generosity is that it's helpful to keep that in mind so that we can recognize that what we're doing is some form of giving. Because if we do not have that awareness, we don't we are not able to recognize what we are doing is a form of practice of generosity, then how would we know to continue doing that or do more of it, right? Which is a form of diligence. We need to recognize that, oh, this is a form of generosity, and if I have time or if I have the ability, I will do more of this. That is a form of diligence. And or we can say that if we do not have awareness that what we're doing is a form of generosity, we might find that when we get very busy, when we go through some kind of changes in our life, we have to make some rearrangement in our schedule, we might just stop doing things that we were doing. That's a form of generosity. And that would be a pity, because we might find that we have yielded a lot of joy in doing that giving and while benefiting others. So this reminds me of a story. Actually, years ago here at the center, a volunteer, she had a very serious illness, and so she had to stay home for an extended period of time to in rehab. And And as soon as she was sort of well enough to get out of the house, what she did was, the first thing she did, she tried to get herself to do out of the house, was to come back and volunteer here. And why is it? Because she found that that's what gives her joy. That's what the offering herself gave her joy. And it was actually a form of wisdom for her to be able to recognize that with the little bit of energy I have available, what is important for me to do? If we do not recognize what we've been doing is a form of generosity in our practice, we may have made very different choices. So, and also, it's helpful for us to keep in mind what is the practice of generosity by other people, meaning what is it that other people that they're doing that's a form of their generosity. In this way, we'll be able to recognize that other are giving to us. It's easy to miss that or take it for granted. People give us their time. They don't have to, but they're being generous. And when we are capable of paying attention and recognizing that, then we will be able to express our appreciation, even though that may not be what's expected. But our appreciation is actually a form of giving, because when we express our appreciation, we are encouraging someone to engage in this practice of giving, of generosity more. Right? So we all can use that. And so when we give this encouragement in the form of appreciation, which can only happen when we actually recognize that someone is giving. Right? And this can be incorporated as part of our practice of generosity. And according to Master Xing Yan, the true practice of the paramitas is to be free from self-attachment and self-cherishing. This means when practicing generosity as a paramita, we are reducing self-attachment and doing so for the benefit of self and others, not just for ourselves. So can you think about it, keep this in mind. And think about it in our usual way of being, which is when we forget about the right view of emptiness of self. Again, emptiness of self here refers to that we what we think of ourselves, including that what we think belongs to us, what is ours. The right view is that they're all the coming together of many causes and conditions. That's not how we usually think of ourselves. So it's a part of a practice to remember this right view. And when we forget this right view, we become selfish and possessive. And when we think this way, then we block ourselves from seeing our interconnectedness with everyone and everything. It's a very restricted kind of feeling. And in the process, we are also prone to focusing on accumulating things for ourselves. And when we think, this is mine, this is all mine. And then we will be focusing, expending our energy on accumulating maybe wealth, maybe status, power, recognition, all kind of other things that we like to possess. And we do so very often at the expense of other people's welfare, or completely neglecting to bring benefits to others. In other words, become very selfish. So, and when we live this way, we may think that we are gaining things, or I'm accumulating things, or I'm winning this game. But actually, if we allow ourselves some moments of introspection, we will realize that we're actually feeling quite empty and unhappy inside. This has been shared with me by many people from retreats who are very successful. They have a lot of money and they don't feel happy. And what it is that it is our inner wisdom. Our inner wisdom telling us that living our life simply to feed our desires actually imprisons us. And because it's imprisoning ourselves to our desires. And that's why we feel trapped or stuck, even though we might have a lot of possession or maybe very successful. So I was already mentioning how generosity can involve giving wealth and dharma. And wealth, I mentioned, it revolves the body and life. And some of you might have read that some sutras, they're filled with stories of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas giving their body, like feeding the body, throwing the body to feed the lion, or giving away body parts. You might have heard the story of Sariputra giving his eyeballs, and so the sutra is filled with these stories as examples of generosity. Now, reading these stories can seem very intimidating. It's like, well, I don't think I can do that, you know, maybe it's very unattainable, or maybe it would sound very unreasonable. Like, are you sure? Should I even, like, I'm not so sure about this teaching, you know? So I think we can see these stories as sort of aspirational for us, or as demonstrating sort of the most advanced level of practice of non-attachment. We're very far away from that. And because these are stories of great bodhisattvas and Buddhas, which we are not. We are at most baby bodhisattvas. But listening to these stories serves to remind ourselves that we are still beginners on the path. And this helps prevent ourselves from becoming too arrogant or too self-satisfied. Because right? As we practice for some time, we may think that, oh, I'm very generous already. And then we might, well, like when you listen to Sariputra's story of giving away his eyeballs, I guess I'm not that generous yet. I'm okay generous, but not at that level. And so it serves as a reminder. So very often, we may start when we cultivate the practice of generosity. We may find that starting with the giving of money, it's an easy entry. So we may start with giving donation to worthwhile causes, such as charities doing work that we want to support. It's often the first thing we can think of, or some people may choose to support their Dharma center or their teacher or guru. And so this is a good entry point for people to engage in this practice. But actually, in the beginning, we might find it difficult to part with our money because our habitual way of thinking is, it's my money. I work really hard to make this money. It's like we don't want to part with it. We may think, why should I just give it away? And when we notice that we have this resistance to giving money, then it is actually a great opportunity to observe how attached we are to our money, right? We might like to like read the sutras talking about non-attachment. So, oh yeah, I can do that. You know, like I'm not attached. And then, well, when rubber hits the road, when it's like time for you to part with your money, it's like, oh, I guess I am still quite attached. Like you're willing to give a little bit, or maybe like even asking you to give a little bit. I'm just like, I don't know. Like that resistance, noticing that resistance arising in the mind, allow us to see our attachment. And guess what? If we never try to give, then we won't realize how attached we are to our money. Right? We can be this sort of armchair practitioner. I'm just thinking that, oh yeah, I can do that. I can just have no attachment. Well, when you actually have to take money from your pocket or write a check, then you will see, you get to see how much resistance there, how much attachment is still there. And that means to be able to give at all is a beginning of letting go of our self-attachment, regardless of the amount. And being able to see that we have this strong attachment to our possession, our money, is itself a form of realization on the path, recognizing that we have strong attachment. If we don't know that we have attachment, how would we be motivated to engage in the practice so that we can let go of this attachment? If we think that I don't have attachment already, then we would think we don't need to practice. So what did Master Yin Shen mean by giving that which is difficult to give? Like what? He talked about there are several things, several principles. He talked about giving when one does not have enough. That's hard, huh? Or giving the most beloved things that you love most. Or giving what was obtained with great effort and sacrifice. Sounds pretty harsh, right? So as you can see, I can see in your responses, in your faces, some of you, you can see these practices really challenge us to let go of our attachments. So chances are, as we try to practice generosity this way, we discover how much self-attachment we actually have. Giving may already be hard. We may find giving that which is difficult to give is really hard. So this is helpful to help us see what we can move towards in our path. So for example, when we practice giving money, we can try to give when we don't feel we have enough. So actually, many people practice this. Research shows that low-income people donate a higher percentage of their income than those with higher income. When we feel that we don't have enough, this practice, what we can do is that we can ask, is it true that I don't have enough? Ask ourselves, is it true? So when we think I don't have enough, well, it may not be true. It may be just a form of habitual thinking. That we may find that the notion that I don't have enough is a form of habitual thinking due to craving. When we are driven by a lot of craving, we craving constantly for more, like I already have enough, but craving make us think that I need more of this, so I don't have enough. And when we recognize that this belief that we don't have enough is actually a form of craving, then we notice that we can choose. We can choose to let go of this belief that I don't have enough. And maybe in the process, we realize what I think that I need, actually, I don't really need. I need to buy this thing, but I already have this. We might gain some clarity by asking ourselves questions, is it true that I don't have enough? Is it true? to investigate our mind this way. And we might find that we actually have enough. So sort of challenge this habitual belief that I don't have enough. And in fact, giving is joyful precisely because it comes with the realization that we already have enough. In fact, we have more than enough. That's why we can give. And the suffering from the craving mind is alleviated in that moment. This is why generosity is such a wonderful practice. And pushing ourselves to give even when we feel we don't have enough can also can help us realize that. This is where we need to remember that the practice is for benefiting others, like to help others to fulfill their needs, and also for our cultivation of letting go of vexations and to cultivate wisdom. We need to remember that because we can, without remembering this, we may go about it inappropriately. So Master Yin Shun talked about how it is inappropriate to give, to try to give, when we are unable to give without reluctance, because our practice is not strong enough yet. So this is because if we give with resentment, so we're like, okay, well, Rebecca said, I need to try to give, even I don't feel I have enough. I really don't feel I have enough, and I'm just really mad that I am forced to give. Your heart might be filled with resentment. That's vexations. You're giving rise to vexations while you're engaging in this practice of generosity. Then it would not be in accordance with the cultivation of wisdom. And maybe while we're doing that, we might not be very nice to whoever we are giving to. So we might not actually be benefiting others. It is not based on compassion. So what it is that we need to develop discernment to understand clearly where we are in our practice. If we're just beginning to engage in the practice of generosity, we accept our limitation. Oh yeah, I have a lot of attachment. I giving this much money is like my limit now. So work with that. Work with that. And while at the same time, we don't become complacent. So like as we practice generosity, it's like, oh, let me see if I can push myself a little bit. When I feel I don't have enough, try to see if I can give. In this way, we're not only giving that which is easy to give, such as giving what we don't want to keep anyway. Then we do that, like there's stuff we don't want, we're about to get rid of anyway, and we're giving it to someone. And after all, it is not really generosity when we are giving what was already heading to the trash. Really, it's more like recycling. Even though the person receiving it can make use of it and they might be appreciative, let's not confuse ourselves thinking that I'm practicing generosity. Right? Giving that which is difficult to give is what help us push ourselves in this practice. And this reminds me of a story of my nephew when he was about 6, and his favorite food is French fries, and he almost never get to eat it because his mom thinks it's unhealthy. So from time to time, I would take him out and let him order whatever he wants to order. And of course, you order French fries. And he would hand me the biggest and longest fry to share with me. That is generosity, right? He loved this so much, and he gave Henry the longest, biggest piece. Right? And and I will let him know that is very generous to encourage him to practice this generosity more. We all have the capacity to do this. Now, oftentimes we find the other part of giving, of the internal giving of our possession, our body and our time being much more difficult than giving material wealth. Because after all, however much money we have, we still only have just 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And so giving time is a way to practice sacrificing ourselves for the benefits of others. And volunteering is a form of giving our time. I actually come to think of it, people, some of you may have heard that there was the March for Our Lives in all over the country, one in the New York City. People who showed up with their body and their time to support the cause is also one form of generosity. Because if nobody showed up, everybody only gives money, then the message given will not be nearly as powerful. In Dhammadrum Mountain, Master Shinyin encouraged practitioners to practice volunteering. Actually, often more so than emphasizing the donation of money. Many of you might have experienced that. Precisely because it is a good practice to lessen our self-attachment. This is especially the case when we're very busy in our life, very tired, and free time is scarce and precious. And so giving our time in this way is a form of giving that which is difficult to give, giving that which is very precious to us. That maybe our free time is our hard-earned free time, and we are learning to give, to sacrifice joyfully. And very often, it's not just time, it might be bodies. Like after a week of working, we're exhausted, you might want to just kind of veg out at home, and so it's a form of practice of generosity to like bring yourself here to something for others. This is why we have find it so helpful and moving to see the examples given by Master Shinyin. For example, another of my late teacher, John Crook, especially when they are fairly elderly and they don't have very good health, that they bring their very tired a body to travel so that they will be able to share the practice, teach the Dhamma to us. And that's why we find it so inspiring, and we look up to them as an example for our practice, because we might look at ourselves and find that, well, I'm tired, maybe I just like kind of not do that. And their example inspires us to, yeah, like, you know, they probably are very tired too, and they try, and then they help us sort of push ourselves a little bit more than we would otherwise. And of course, this is not applicable to just being volunteer, right? We can apply it in our life, lived at home, or at work. And for example, we may find that we have a very, very jam-packed week. And then we heard our friend is going through a hard time because she has lost a loved one. Then he challenges us to think, can we find time to call or even visit our friend this is time and also bringing our very exhausted body to go do this. And this can be a form of generosity, doing that which is difficult to do. And or maybe something very fairly small but has a lot of opportunity for us to do in our daily life. Maybe when we're at work, we are very busy, and but we see someone like looking down. We see someone who might need some encouragement. We can practice giving a bit of our time, of our attention. It's like ask how they're doing. Not just like how you're doing. We don't really hear what they are saying, but like actually willing to sit down with them for some time. And that might mean us feeling squeezed in the other part of our day a little bit. That's what we mean by sacrificing, but happily, right? So that is a form of giving what that which is difficult to give. So in this way, we can look for opportunities to engage in the practice of generosity as we understand what are the different ways in which we can practice generosity, especially to practice being giving when it's difficult, challenging to give, as a way to practice letting go of our self-attachment and allow ourselves to see clearly our attachment. So I will stop here for our this discussion on the practice of generosity. I hope you will give it a try in your daily life.